everyone, to another fantastic edition of the Nerd Watch. I, of course, am G Money. I am joined by two very knowledgeable gentlemen in their fields. We're talking to.
I'll take it.
Listen, just take it, okay?
Oh, no.
I'll take it.
Let me finish the intro. then you can go, eh.
Isn't he supposed to step in and correct you?
On my left this evening, we are joined by Format tonight. And of course, to my right is the one and only Gannon in studio as well. I want to let everybody know that Professor Barry will not be here this evening. He's got some business to attend to. Much more important than us, apparently. So that's fine. We said we were going to do a commentary this week. We didn't want to do Twilight Zone without Professor Barry because he's such a huge fan. So we wanted to. We decided not to do that. So instead, there is a lot of things happening all across the gaming world right now because E3 is in full effect. We'll talk a lot of E3. We've been watching some of the conferences. We also will talk some movies and things of that nature coming up as well. But first, gentlemen, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it. Want to send a big shout out, by the way, before I get into it, to Alika and My Comics and Collectibles. Make sure to check them out every Wednesday for Comic Book Wednesday here at 333 Derry Road. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles. Gentlemen, how was your week so far? We've had time to marinate on Jurassic World. Anybody change their minds? Anybody indifferent? Anybody thought it was better or worse? Now that we've had time to, you know, really think about it and have it sink in.
I still want to see it again, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, I still enjoy it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp.
Are you really? Okay.
Yeah. I see you all of a sudden don't like it.
No, I wrote a review.
Mm-hmm. I read it.
For the Nerd Watch and mywatch.com. It's on there if you want to read it. I was... If I'm honest, I was a little critical because there are just things that bug me, and I just wanted to state them. But like I said, I thought that the film was good, and looking at it now, I have to say that I think I enjoyed it more after thinking about it than sitting in the theater. Because once I got over the kids, I think it was more enjoyable for me. So, you know,
she had to get over the children first.
I had to get over the kids first. But the dinosaur action was amazing. And then I ended up talking to my dad. He happened to see it, and he was telling me how much he enjoyed it because he said, in his opinion, that the dinosaur action and the dinosaurs look so real and they look so convincing, even with the actors in frame, that he was amazed at how good it looked. I mean, when I was writing my review for Jurassic World, I actually had Jurassic Park in the background. And I never, you know, when you look back, you never know how, I guess, I don't want to say awful, but for their time, they were amazing. But they were not exactly the best effects ever. So, but they
it
were...
It was, what, 94?
93.
Yeah, 93. Good for its time.
It was, no, that's what I'm saying. It was great for its time, especially the T-Rex. The shots of, like, the Brontosaurus and the background stuff, you could tell that was screened, green screened, as it were. But, even after watching that while reading the review, I still think Jurassic Park was a much better movie. But, as we all know now, we are going to get another Jurassic World. This movie beat The Avengers, Age of Ultron, in the box office. Not only that, Marvel even tweeted at Chris Pratt and Jurassic World and put Chris Pratt's character on top of a dinosaur. And Marvel tweeted that out to send a congratulations.
It was Kevin
to them.
Feige, actually.
It was Kevin Feige.
Specifically Kevin Feige. He did that.
Wow, that was amazing. It made over $511 million worldwide its opening weekend. That is gigantic business.
It also, off the strength of that, apparently two projects that had been kind of shuffled for a while.
Right.
Look like they're being resurrected. Eli Roth had a prehistoric shark film that he'd been wanting to do.
Ooh.
So, and a big budget one, too. It'd be his first big budget film that he's doing. That looks like it's in the works now, off the strength of Jurassic World.
Nice.
And then another film that Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt were assigned to, which I can't remember the title of off the top of my head right now, but it was going to be a sci-fi movie along the lines of Gravity. They were attached to that for the longest time. And it was deemed too expensive by the studio that's doing it. Now they're looking at it again.
Wow.
Because they're looking at Chris Pratt being in three consecutive hits in a row.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm not necessarily convinced it's all because of him.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of people running around with Star-Lord toys.
That's
a lot
true.
More Groot toys. But at the same time, it's hard to deny it. The same guy in three pretty big successful movies in a row.
You're absolutely right. He is getting a lot of the credit for the success of Jurassic
absolutely.
World. And,
much you know, deserved, though,
hey,
regardless
listen,
of what I said.
I say ride until the cows come home.
Absolutely.
You know, for as much as I think Seth Rogen is annoying, and you know, because I've seen him so much in every movie, I say ride that thing out all the way until everybody gets sick and tired of you, make your millions.
Being famous in Hollywood doesn't last as long as it used to.
Absolutely
gotta
not.
Gotta get it while it's hot.
Absolutely not. So I'm very excited to hear about Eli Roth's Jurassic Shark film.
Yeah. I think it's called Meg, actually.
The Steve Alton book.
I think so.
Meg is an amazing book. If Eli Roth is going to do that, I hope he does it justice. It's about a 60-foot megalodon.
Yeah.
It is an amazingly scary book. It was very mm-hmm. good.
Which, ironically enough, is not the one that's from Jurassic World.
No,
but I'm pretty sure they're going off the idea and the imagery of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the springboard off.
Oh, absolutely. It's after you know, marinating on it, I think Jurassic World had some amazing visual style, and I think that the dinosaurs were quite amazing for sure. So, anyway... How about you, Format? What did you think after marinating on it? You're still in the camp of Jurassic World. You want to see?
I can't get
sequel?
Over those kids.
I'm becoming an old curmudgeon. I'm sorry.
What's still
happening.
Bugging me is that Terminator trailer, though.
You would have to bring that up. My anger. I'm so passionately angered about this. It's a problem for me. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing what other. What's in store for the Jurassic World. Colin Trevorrow said he wasn't doing the sequel. Now he says he might be doing the sequel. Don't know. I would assume that, it would be up to Steven Spielberg, I'm guessing. So maybe he's
all
gonna
I know is
out.
That Pratt said that he signed up for like 83 more of them. So
I wouldn't blame him.
A busy guy, though, when you look at his roster of stuff, I'm, like, sitting in front of him right now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a charming cat. I hope he gets more work, so good for him. Anyway, Jurassic World, go see it if you have not watched it. Read my review. It's worth seeing in the theater. So check it out. Let us know what you think at facebook.com/nerdwatch. All right, gentlemen. I've been doing a lot of viewing of online videos of what has been happening on the West Coast. Is it not? It's in California.
West
I think.
Coast.
Mm-hmm. I think it's on the West Coast. E3 or the electronics the electronics expo, as it were, is happening right now, where all the big game developers and game console makers like PlayStation and Xbox, Sony's there, Microsoft's there, game developers like Bethesda's there, Square Enix is there,
Nintendo
is there.
Yes, please do not forget Nintendo is there. I know it may not seem like it, but Nintendo is actually there.
It's amazing, right? Never knew. But okay, so let's go over the Xbox. The Xbox conference or the Microsoft conference first, because that actually was the one that was happening while the rest of us were all asleep. That happened at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. here in the islands. There was a lot of stuff that happened to have been announced at E3. I don't know how. I don't know if you guys. I've never gauged your allegiance to any console or to any I guess console maker. Does anybody have... Everybody got a preference here? I've never asked.
I'm a PlayStation guy.
Format has... I know that Format is a PlayStation guy. He's told me that before.
Yeah, I started out as a Nintendo fanboy until the PlayStation came out. but the NES, the Super NES, Nintendo all the way. I wasn't a Genesis kid.
Wow. I ended up being... I was one of those Genesis kids, as it were. I had a Nintendo, too, but the Genesis was the one that kept pulling me back because I kept playing stuff with my dad all the time, like Arnold Palmer Golf.
Great.
Staying up late nights with him.
I was expecting
playing.
To hear Columns
nope,
or something, but
nope,
Arnold Palmer
no,
Golf.
Arnold Palmer
wow.
Golf. I swear to God, man. We were staying up to like 2 o'clock in the morning playing 18 holes with me and my pop. It was hilarious. But anyway, Microsoft came to the table early in the morning and for the islands and had quite the showing. A matter of fact, a lot of game analysts have called it probably the best showing for Microsoft in decades, or in ages, I should say. I shouldn't say decades.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time.
took them long enough.
Well, they said that Xbox focus was gaming, not the entertainment aspect of it. No one heard anything about the Kinect and how that was going to change
everyone's life. It's about time.
One of the biggest announcements from Microsoft was Xbox One is now getting this holiday season backwards compatibility with its Xbox 360 library. I don't know how big that is, considering we are in the second year of the console generation, as it were. I don't know how big this is. I'm assuming, since you guys are PlayStation guys, I'm assuming this is to compete with PlayStation Now. I'm guessing, because
PlayStation can't do it either, though. PlayStation is not backwards compatible.
No, it's not.
And that got in a lot of people's craw about PlayStation as well.
Right.
Because up until the first iteration of PlayStation 3, everything was backwards compatible.
Right.
Once they started doing revisions of that unit, they started phasing in the background.
Right.
To focus on streaming or digital downloads. But everybody's got all these libraries still.
Yeah.
And for me, the backwards compatible thing is Xbox trying to win back their own audience since Sony started taking some of them.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first year that PlayStation for 4, when that came out, it just started killing them in sales.
Last month was the first time Microsoft had actually beat Sony in the console war as far as sales goes, and now it's back to Sony again.
Yeah.
Backwards compatibility, I think it's great because I still have... They say even the ones you buy digitally will show up in your library sometime, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. I do like it better than the PlayStation Now version of it, because you actually rent the game for like a couple of hours or like a week or whatever, and it's like $15 up 30 days or something like that.
You're streaming it, basically.
You're basically streaming it. But there are some games I have on my PlayStation that I have not yet finished, like Deep Space 2 and 3. South Park, I never got to finish South Park.
The Stick of Truth.
I played about maybe 3 hours of it, and I really liked it. That was very good. I never had a chance to finish it. But yeah, that was big news and not expected at all. Do you think this is going to change any hearts and minds?
I think so.
Really?
For Xbox fans, I think, like I said, their library is far more impressive when it comes to 360.
Yeah.
Their Xbox One library, they haven't really had any titles that really won people over. There's nothing Xbox One has that PlayStation 4 doesn't have. PlayStation seems to have better showing of titles on their end, in my opinion.
No, I agree, because I have to say that even marketing-wise, even things that do share, even when they do share games, it's funny how you would assume that it's PS4 exclusive, like Destiny. Destiny's a huge game, and it almost seems like it's PS4 exclusive the way it's marketed.
Yep.
Even Batman Arkham Knight, which I'm so looking forward to next week, by the way, looks amazing.
Sir.
Don't get me started. Mm-hmm. I am so excited about Batman Arkham Knight next week. Cannot wait.
But I'm sitting down.
But yeah, they make it seem like it's exclusive to the PS4 console. And I have to give it to Sony. The way they're marketing the PlayStation is doing them very well, because they're getting a bigger audience, especially with the debacle that was the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic. The irony of this whole thing is that how disastrous the PS3 launch was and its whole console life was such a disaster that people turned around and decided to buy PlayStation 4 immediately. So
it was the price point, man.
It was. I'm telling you, it was $399. Still
$399
is
$399 at the start.
Yeah, still is. Still is. 500 gig hard drive.
And I absolutely love that, because when Xbox One was announced, it almost felt like Sony was waiting for them to go first.
Yeah.
Because once they announced theirs and their price point, Sony came out like, what, a couple weeks later, be like, oh, ours is $400.
That's right.
So they were totally just waiting in the wings to be like, let's see what they say first.
Yes.
And then we'll just kill them on it.
Well, having both consoles, I will say that I do enjoy what the Kinect does, but it's not. I don't enjoy it for the actual camera itself. I enjoy it that I can voice command to my Xbox. I don't necessarily use the camera for anything, but
so lazy.
Yeah, it's a no. But what is really cool is that I can sit there and go, Xbox, take a screenshot, or Xbox, record that, which is really cool. So you can record your clips, upload them, and stuff like that's fun. That's really fun stuff. That's stuff I can't
until
do
until it starts talking back.
Until it starts talking back, it becomes sentient. Yes, absolutely.
That's what you always got to worry about, man.
And then it's Terminator Genesis
and
all
Terminator
over
Genesis
again.
All over again. Now I don't know how. Speaking of Xbox and Microsoft's conference, they also announced something else that I thought was kind of big, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm kind of a... for as much as I'm not the hardcore gamer, as it were, but I'm a gamer enough that I would be willing to spend money on a new controller. They're getting into the modded controller game with their new Xbox controller, which is totally moddable. You can take off the joysticks or the sticks and put in other sticks. You can put the dome to the flat. You can put the ones that are higher or lower. You can change out the
orientation of the layout.
The orientation, and they even have flippers on the back that you can use. So if you don't want to take your hands off of the sticks, you can actually map the actual buttons to the flippers on the bottom. They call it flippers. That's why I'm calling them flippers. Hmm. Very interesting. It's
$149.99.
Forget that. No. They've had customizable controllers before.
But here, but no, I agree, because SCUF Gaming is a huge moddable controller. Hmm. But those are anywhere from $260 to $300. So to knock at the door of those guys that are making these popular, very popular modded controllers and cutting them in half at the knees is an interesting move on Xbox's part, considering it seems as if with that controller, they're actually wanting people to game on there and to game competitively, because everybody seems to game competitively on the PS4. So that is quite interesting. So I'm a big fan. I think I would, instead of getting two controllers, I'd pay that much money for one controller as long as it was. As long as I could configure it the way I wanted to, so
I would also worry about durability too.
Yeah,
they taking say things in. Well, they say know, putting well, them back on, well, taking them off.
In the conference, they had said that these things are magnetic and they're steel.
That's no.
So I was like, no, okay,
that's not a good idea.
That's
no.
That's what I said too. I have my worries. I have my worries too. I have to agree. So I'll give you that. All right. So let's move on to games. Okay.
All right.
Move on to some games that Microsoft had at their conference. One of them, one of the biggest ones, being of course,
was Halo.
Halo 5.
All right,
yes, cool. Halo 5 Guardians was,
I was
one
just
of
guessing.
The biggest. No, you're.
It's an Xbox thing.
It's
I
an
guess.
Xbox thing. Well, they're gonna ride that series until it's dead. That is for sure. Halo 5 Guardians actually looks like one that I really will enjoy playing. I really think that one's going to be good. I played the beta of Halo 5 and for multiplayer, much better than the previous ones. That's sacrilege for some, I know, but I have to say that I really enjoyed the Halo 5 beta a lot. I cannot wait to play it. It has a very different feel. I hate to say this or compare it to, people boo me, but it's very much in the vein of a Call of Duty. The action is
Boo!
A little more, I knew it. The action is a little more deliberate. The action is it's a little faster paced, and I like that, especially with the Halo in the Halo universe. It kind of makes sense, and I really enjoyed that. So, have you guys played Halo? Do you guys like Halo?
No.
Are you big fans?
Again, I've never touched an Xbox.
Really?
Not even touched it.
Wow. All right. Well, then I'll
stop. Touched it.
I've got
at
nothing
least.
To say about this.
All right. Well, I won't go any further other than Halo 5 is going to be a big holiday release.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
So it'll be gigantic.
There's no question. I mean, they're going to throw a lot of money at marketing that thing in the
oh,
first
yeah.
place.
Absolutely.
It doesn't even matter if it's good, honestly.
Absolutely. Another game that was touched on by not only Microsoft but Bethesda, and I bring this up in the Xbox conversation because, according to Microsoft, we are getting Fallout 4, which mm-hmm. I love. I love all the Fallouts. I love Fallout 3. I like Fallout New Vegas, which I still have not finished yet for Xbox 360. Have not finished yet. But the reason why I bring it up here in the Xbox conference, the same reason why they did. It's not exclusive to Xbox. It's going to be on PS4. But what they made, the announcement that they made is very interesting. They said that computer mods for Fallout 4 will be compatible with consoles. So
that's different.
Now that is that's what I said. It's extremely different. So they said, I posted it on the Nerdwatch, facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. I posted it on the Nerdwatch. They said that if there are guys that are making mods for the PC for Fallout 4, as long as they are not necessarily, if there's no licensing right issues or it's not porn, they said they will tweak it to work in the consoles. They said that the only thing that they said, you can use licensed material as long as you get the okay, like say Halo 5 or whatever. But the fact that you can actually do that on your console is a very interesting idea. Never thought it would be possible.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how logistically that would work.
You know, according to Todd Howard,
but I'm also not a programmer, so I couldn't tell you.
According to him, it's easier than you would think. It's easier than you think, but he said that it's all about Microsoft and Sony loosening up their restrictions on certification.
So that means modded works will operate on the PS4 as well?
Right, just like this.
I thought it was a Microsoft only thing.
No. As of right now, it is, because Sony has not got into that. Huh. But Bethesda hasn't closed the door on Sony for making mods. It all depends on if Sony is receptive to that kind of modded work.
They might bite just because Microsoft said yes, but I have a feeling they won't.
But look at what Skyrim has done with all the mods for PC. I mean, just the way the Steam Shop works. I mean, you can add new areas. You can add...
Yeah, but that's PC.
True, but you can add length to the game. And if the developers can take those mods, because those mods technically belong to them after they're made, mm-hmm. you know, because they're using the actual materials from what's being made from Fallout 4, it's very cool that you can add that on to even a console gamer. And I think that's kind of impressive, considering the fact that some people don't even know that are console gamers that know what modding is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really cool as far as that goes. But let's getting back to the Fallout 4 subject. Are you guys big fans of Fallout 4? Really?
I'm not big on first-person shooters.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing. I mean, you can play that in first and third person.
Oh, you can. I don't even know.
Yeah, you can play that in third person.
Maybe I'll have to go check it out.
It was an amazing RPG experience for me, and I was very surprised at how much I really enjoyed the story and how much I enjoyed the interactions between the people in it and the enemies that I encounter. Amazing stuff. I was in shock. It took me I think about 70 hours to beat Fallout 3.
Jeez, that's a commitment.
70 hours. You know how long it took me to beat Skyrim? 90 plus hours.
Oh, I don't have that kind of patience.
Yeah, it's amazing how long that took me. It's ridiculous. So have you done any Fallouts at all, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more into the story aspect of it.
Sure.
I'm not a big FPS fan either.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, surprising.
So all those Call of Duties and Halos.
Call of Duty has been, I don't know.
They're not really big on my list.
It's been waning for the last couple of years, it seems like. And now it seems like there's a lot of negativity towards the new Black Ops is coming out. A lot of people aren't backing the Call of Duty train, as it were, anymore.
It doesn't seem very inspired. I mean, even just looking at it tangentially from my point of view, it just seems like they're just coming up with whatever concepts are floating around their heads just to keep the franchise going.
Sure.
There's a lot of game franchises that are guilty of that. I mean, it makes money.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So they don't really worry about having the best idea possible to put the game out. They just need a idea.
True. That's true. Good point.
Hence why it branches off into Black Ops and other versions in and of itself.
Right. Speaking of first-person shooters, something that may pique both of your interest, also at the, not just the Microsoft conference, but also at other conferences, we got our first look into the playability of Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay, now here is where I get excited.
Here we go.
Because I don't like first-person shooters.
Correct.
But when I saw that gameplay demo footage...
It looked really
I'm
nice.
Not going to lie. I might get on board with that one.
I am amazed. By the way... Because
it looks amazing.
It looks... The footage that I saw wasn't from the Microsoft presser. It was from the Sony presser. I saw that, and it was... my jaw dropped. I was surprised.
The thing with Endor and Hoth and everything, right?
And the Hoth.
It looks great. It looks fantastic.
Even I was looking.
I might have to break my own rule for myself.
I was looking at the detail that was just in the gun.
Yeah.
It was just amazing to me. And they made a deliberate, according to the developers, they made EA, obviously. They made a deliberate, they intentionally left it to where there were no aiming down sights anymore. You're looking directly at the gun, and the reticle is actually, you don't have to zoom in on it or anything like that at all. They made a deliberate choice to do that. So I'm wondering if they are trying to bring in other people other than FPS people into this.
They might get hit me on this one because, like I said, the game looks really, really good.
It looks amazing.
It looks fantastic. I mean, it definitely makes you feel as if you were in those battles.
Yeah,
which is to me is if you're going to do that kind of game, that's the best thing you can go for.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. It's
but also the somewhat other incentive is I think there's a pre-order for it where you can play the Battle of Jakku.
Yes, there is.
From the next movie coming out, which is very tantalizing in and of itself. So that one might be a hard one for me to sidestep. I might end up having to take the plunge of that one just for myself.
I think I'm definitely with you on that. I think that Star Wars Battlefront, I was not, it wasn't on my radar and I wasn't exactly interested in until I saw the footage.
It definitely won me over.
And the way, and when you hear it and then when you see what's going on while you're battling, it's amazing stuff. I wonder, they didn't even mention, unless I missed it, they didn't mention how many people per side.
I don't know. I didn't really look that far into it.
I didn't know if it was 24 on 24.
It really wasn't on my radar. I mean, I knew it was coming out. I knew it was like, not necessarily a remake, but a reboot, because it's not the first of this series.
Right. No, it's not.
But I never really cared for the other ones. I think I even played them before as a demo.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2 or 3, maybe. But again, when that trailer came out, it won me over.
Yeah, I'm on board.
I think it's what, November, right?
Yeah, it is November. I am definitely on board. It's coming out before the film.
Yeah, well, it has to.
Yeah. going back to what other games have been announced in this at E3, Bethesda also announced a new Doom. I was not a fan of 3. I don't know. You said you're not first-person shooter guys. I don't know if you're fans of Doom, though.
I remember Doom from when I was still in high school. I'm surprised that's still got a fan base.
It's
honestly
got legs, man. It's amazing. And then another first-person genre game, and I don't know if you guys played it back on PS3 or Xbox 360, was Dishonored. Dishonored is getting a sequel, Dishonored 2.
This I did not see.
Yeah, you did not see that. It's,
yeah, I didn't see it either.
Oh, it looks amazing. Dishonored. Do you remember that from Xbox?
I vaguely remember it.
It's the one where you're the assassin. You're the supposed assassin, and it's kind of this dystopian future, but it looks like it's in the past, and it's an interesting concept. I can't go into the whole thing.
I missed the boat on this one.
Yeah, it's good. it was a very good game, but yeah, I'm very surprised that we even got to see anything of Doom, because this has been under wraps since what?
How long has it been since the last Doom?
1999, maybe 2000.
So they weren't paying attention when Duke Nukem came out after being gone for so long.
Don't get me started. That last Duke Nukem game was horrible.
People waited so long for Duke Nukem that when it came out, they're like, "Oh, never mind."
That was absolutely terrible.
It was so bad.
It was bad, bad, bad. Speaking of something that has the potential of being bad, that I think, and maybe I'm the only one with the negative Nelly here, but Xbox did say that their console exclusive, timed exclusive, Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming out. Did you guys see the 6-minute video I posted on?
No,
I didn't know
it was going exclusive.
Yeah,
because it was the last one on all platforms.
It was all platforms. Yeah.
So why the hell did they want an exclusive on a
franchise
that's not working out?
Enix and Microsoft worked out a deal, and it worked out fairly well for Microsoft, because now that is a timed exclusive for them.
I'm glad they're excited about it.
Yeah, I saw the 6 minutes of it, and like I said, I liked the first one. Maybe I was a little more excited than I thought.
Well, they rebooted it a year or two ago.
The original. Yeah. Oh, that was good.
I'm sure it was. I never played it, but it from what I understand, it went a little bit more on the Uncharted end of things.
Mm-hmm. It kind of did, and it focused a little more on her not being such a super heroine, as it were, and more of a real person in a real situation.
And they desexualized her.
They did, very much so. But she was still, she looked really good.
Of course.
But was really good. So yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider is an interesting choice for them to take on as exclusivity, but I guess I saw the 6 minutes on it's on Facebook.com.
Maybe they know something about that game that we don't right now.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they do. I guess you're right. They say that the actual demo that was in the in-game demo that you saw at E3 was quite meaty, and you should definitely check it out. So that's on Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Any of you guys Dark Souls fans? That got announced too.
Is anyone a Dark Souls fan?
I guess I must be the only one. It's one of the hardest games I have ever freaking played. It's a third person. It's a third person action adventure game, and it's quite difficult. It's one of those things where
I don't know how people put themselves through that. If I want to play a difficult game, I'll go fire up Mega Man.
Mega Man. Every single Mega Man I never beat. I never could beat any single Mega Man ever. Ever. Gosh, I hated Mega Man when I was growing up because it used to tick me off. It's like one of the only games I remember having to actually throw a control.
Mega Man, I hate you.
I freaking hated that guy. Gosh, that sucked. But yeah, Dark Souls 3 was officially announced. It's coming early 2016. It's basically a Knights Sequel. And Wizards, and that's essentially what it's about. And you roam this vast land full of disparate villains and things of that nature, and it's hard, like extremely hard. It's one of those games like From Software used to do, those games that are just extremely difficult from back in the day, just like Mega Man almost. But it doesn't make it to where you're frustrated. You just know that there is something that you can do better in order to get past that. I enjoyed those games.
It's a game full of self doubt.
It's exactly exactly.
It is. Why can't I be better?
How come when I die, all my stuff is on the ground? And I got to start
all over again. It's crazy.
And I get right back to that point where I died, and I see all my stuff, and then I die again.
Oh my god, it's horrible. It's horrible.
This game is great.
Yep. Well, speaking of games from the past, there is a developer that is coming out with a big game that was huge. That was huge. It was a huge announcement. It came out of nowhere.
Hubert.
Close.
No? Oh, damn it.
Developer Rare decided to make an announcement to release 30 of their games on one huge disc come August. The guys who are the makers of Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, Perfect Dark Zero, Viva Pinata, they decided to put all their games into one disc.
Is Conker's going to be on it?
All right, well.
Because Conker's was awesome.
Conker's Bad Fur Day is on it.
Awesome. Uh-oh. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, RC Pro-Am is on it. Blast Corps is on it, apparently.
Donkey Kong Country?
No, that's not
on it. What?
That's all, because it's only Xbox. It's only on Xbox. But here's the thing. Here's the game. Here's the Battletoads is on it, by the way.
Whoa.
Battletoads is on it.
Oh, man. They just killed every single game since this joke.
I'll tell you what game
it's
isn't
not
on it.
Funny anymore.
What that isn't on it. That was a hard game, by the way. Battletoads. Oh, freaking Battletoads. There's a game that Rare made that is not on this collection, and I'm very perturbed about it, and I'm a little upset. GoldenEye is not on this collection.
That's a sting.
Oh, wow.
I never played that game, but I'm fully aware of how much people love that game.
Oh, my gosh, dude. When I played that game, when
people
I had my N64.
People still love that game.
Oh.
Yeah.
After all these years, man.
Oh, man.
People still consider it one of
their wonder
best.
If Alika has a copy of GoldenEye. Yeah,
knowing Alika, he actually has the golden gun somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
GoldenEye is right under your ass,
G-Money. GoldenEye is under my ass. All right, sweet. That is too crazy. But yeah, I'm really upset, really bummed. Now, we're not getting GoldenEye. According to Rare, they said the reason why GoldenEye isn't on there because they didn't think that the property was Rare. It wasn't a Rare game. There was a lot of other people's ideas coming in because it was a licensed game. So they said they decided to leave it out because,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, the demand is going to be there for it. They'll eventually come
goodness.
Back.
Yeah, they're
going to
release
no
some
it's
kind gonna of
be,
special
it's going to be DLC, guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's going to cost everybody an extra $5 or $10.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way it won't.
$5 or $10.
This conversation alone is proof right there that eventually there's going to be enough people that are going to be demanding it. They're going to have to come back around to it.
Well, there was something else that was announced at E3 as well. I don't know how big gamers you are for this game. Mass Effect was announced. Mass Effect Andromeda was announced. And I am a huge Mass Effect fan. I love 2 is still my favorite to this day. I love 2. 2 is an amazing game. And I still play it, actually. I made 2 characters. I made a female and a male. And I'm playing the female character right now, and it's amazing. So, yeah, EA decided to announce that Mass Effect Andromeda is happening holiday of next year. Were you guys big fans of Mass Effect?
No.
All right, Gannon, here's the thing. We're going to have to talk. You're gonna have to. let's break this down. What kind of gamer are you? What do you like to play?
Oh man, I mean, if you're gonna ask me that, you know, I'm playing the GTAs, I'm playing the Assassin's Creeds, the Resident Evils, Metal Gears. That's the kind of franchise I'm into.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We did get to see a lengthy. It wasn't E3 exclusive, but I'm glad you brought that up. But I believe it was at E3. We did get to see a lengthy demo of Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Are we really?
I wasn't too excited over the prequel one that had come out before, which I can't remember what that was
Zeros.
Called. Was that it?
Ground Zeroes. Yeah.
I played the 15 minutes of it. I just kind of lost interest. But mostly because I already went into it knowing that it's not a full game, really.
Right.
It's a universe builder game as opposed to the actual game itself.
Right.
It was a prequel, so based on that alone, I just didn't let myself get into it.
Right.
However, even as silly as that series gets with cyborgs and vampires and all that kind of stuff,
it's nuts.
It gets so crazy. But I'm looking forward to the next one for sure.
Yeah, Phantom Pain. I saw that. I saw gameplay footage. It was like a 20-minute. The people that had a chance to play played for 15 hours, but we got to see a 20-minute snippet of it. And he was one map. He was in Afghanistan, Snake. And he was traversing like all these different terrains. He was doing it on horseback. He was able to do a lot of his cardboard box stealth.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
Absolutely. As stupid as it is now.
According to what has happened, he can either get attacked by bears. He can sneak up on enemies, and actually, he can what he calls the Fulton system. He can actually attach a balloon to them, and they become part of his army. Which is very interesting. So he doesn't kill him. He puts him to sleep, and then he attaches a balloon. The balloon has a GPS on it that takes it directly to his base, and they become part of his army. And that army can go out and do missions.
I don't know if I'm excited about this game anymore. That's really bizarre.
One question.
Yes, yes.
Can you cardboard box on top of a horse?
No? That would be amazing. Oh. That would be amazing. Phantom
or
Pain
hide from a bear in a car.
Right. Huh? Phantom Pain is actually I think it's the one that's coming out the earliest. It's coming out in September, I think.
I think so, too.
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah. So Metal Gear, The Phantom Pain is going to be a huge, huge game. And
last one from Kojima, too.
It is. Konami is focusing on mobile gaming from now on.
So stupid.
And gambling. That's what they're focusing on. So
they were sitting on gold at Silent Hills. I don't even want to talk about it. I brought it up and I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, that's the thing I was hoping to see from E3. Like, oh, we're just kidding. We're changing our minds. We're going to come out with a game that's obviously going to sell a lot of units just because we had Daryl from Walking Dead in it, for Christ's sake. But
right,
no.
Right. And we had Guillermo del Toro on there consulting and writing on it. Yeah.
It's a slam dunk. Never mind. We can make a podcast just about that.
Your anger is strong. I can feel it.
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, so
before we get carried away,
there are two more games that were announced. Sony, moving on to Sony's press conference, there was it wasn't as impressive as Microsoft's. I got to see both. Microsoft did announce their HoloLens, which looks amazing, but I don't know if anybody's ready to have something on their head to playing games. I don't know if that's something.
The peripheral that you attach to your head, like.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ready for it. I mean, because.
Not to mention, I've got a really big head.
Sony did the Morpheus thing, and I'm like, I don't know if anybody's ready for that.
It even goes back to Nintendo when they tried the Virtual Boy thing. That didn't work out for them either.
I have one.
Oh my god.
The thing was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, the Virtual Boy. That caused epileptic seizures. Good god. The HoloLens was a big thing for Microsoft, and Sony did the same thing with the Morpheus. But putting those things aside, because those are some of their bigger ones, Sony did have some really cool game releases that I wanted to mention. Number one was the game that has been talked about for quite some time called No Man's Sky. I don't know if anybody has seen that. They did a demo of it. It was like a 5-minute demo, but it's the one where there's millions of planets that you can visit, and there's different species of animals, different Aliens.
I guess I missed this one. I haven't heard of this one.
It's a huge game.
It looks enormous.
It looks gigantic. It looks amazing. No Man's Sky. They say they have not announced a date for it as of yet. But you basically are in a spaceship. And you get to traverse a universe. A literal universe. They said, I think it was in a report a couple of months ago. They said that if you wanted to see everything in No Man's Sky, and this sounds like hyperbole to me, they said, the developer said, that you would have to play that game once a day, or you'd have to play that game 24 hours a day, every day, and it would take you over 200 billion hours. It's crazy. I don't know. That was a huge thing.
That's a market.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we're talking about there's going to be, like, you know, frequent updates and DLCs and things, but then I could kind of see that.
They say built into the game itself and the infrastructure within the game, there are so much things to do and see that it would take you a billion years to finish it. I'm like,
how long ago did they start making this game?
I mean, just to create this
would take that much time.
The Cretaceous period, the Jurassic period. Who the hell knows? But
it sounds interesting.
No Man's Sky. The art,
but that's a lot to live up to.
The art design is pretty cool too. It's not your typical. It's not your typical looking. Looking like your typical. You know. AAA title. It's a very different art style. It looks good. I'm very surprised, and I'm glad I had a chance to see it.
It doesn't sound like every other game is coming out right now.
No, it doesn't, and I think that's the draw. Different. Completely different.
I can just see it now, though. Like, I'm going to have to write my save file into my will when I pass it down to future generations so they can finish the game.
So you give it to your kids.
This is my legacy. And then, I leave it to you.
And then you're going to have to give it to your grandkids.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
There's your marketing right there.
That is marketing right there.
I mean, a billion years to finish?
A billion years.
Yeah.
I thought a billion years was only in Scientology contracts. That's what I thought. I'm completely wrong about that.
They better make their further systems backwards compatible.
Absolutely.
If you're never going to be able to finish that game, they better make every other system backwards compatible.
Absolutely. Also announced at the Sony press conference was the newest generation or the current gen of Hitman. Hitman, mm-hmm. Agent. We're getting Agent 47 again. Sony had the preview for it. It's not console exclusive by any means, but the footage was straight from the PS4, and it looks amazing. I'm a huge fan of Hitman. I always like playing those games because they frustrate me, because I find it's difficult to traverse that kind of game, because you're jumping in and out of costume. You can approach it many different ways, and I really like that. I'm a huge Hitman fan. You played the last one, Absolution?
No, I haven't. But good stuff. It is another franchise that I've kept my eye on but never just got around to.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. It's good. I really enjoy
it. I'm not the most avid gamer. I should probably throw that out there. But
yeah, I'm an avid casual gamer. That's what I like to call myself.
A casually avid gamer.
I'm assured that everybody who's anybody, even the casual gamers, especially those that are fanboys of PS4, is going to know about the next game I mentioned, The Last Guardian, that was going to be on the PS3 back in 2009, is finally making its way to the PS4 next year.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one, the guys from Shadow of Colossus,
and Ico.
Mm-hmm. Ico, you guys remember those games, of course, from back definitely. In the day. Those are amazing.
I never played
games.
Shadow, but I did play Ico.
Shadow of Colossus was an amazing game. It just, because it was so different. There was nothing in between, pretty much, other than going from boss to boss to boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing
It was visually
game.
Stunning.
Visually amazing. Yeah. Especially for its time. Yeah. Amazing stuff. I really enjoyed that game. I remember Ico. That was amazing. That was on the PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, goodness gracious. That
it was a selling point for PlayStation.
It was. The art style
people
was...
bought PlayStation 2 because of that game.
The art style was amazing. A matter of fact, it's still garnering a pretty penny for a PS2 copy of it.
I'm sure it still is. It's a classic game.
Yeah, absolutely is. But The Last Guardian was their next effort. The Last Guardian, I called it a boy in his, you know, his what is it, 60-foot dog?
Pretty much,
it's
yeah.
what it is. It's quite
it's,
amazing.
It's cool to see them follow through with it, though, because yeah. it has been a long time. You would think that at a certain point they would drop it in favor of something
yeah, right?
else.
A lot
like
of
it would have gotten shelved or something.
Every yeah. time it didn't show up at E3, everybody go, okay, it's dead.
Yeah.
And it's dead.
Right.
So now that it shows up, I'm glad to have seen it show up. I'm very happy to see that we're going to get The Last Guardian. Finally, on the PS4, and I believe that is PS4 exclusive. All right, last but not least on the list of games that made it to... I shouldn't say last but not least. I want to save that one for last. But there is two other games that your developer that you like, apparently, Ubisoft announced. One is called For Honor. It is a very medieval 4-on-4.
Is that the night one?
Yes.
Yeah, that actually looks really fun.
Doesn't it look good? Yeah. It looks...
I missed that one.
Okay.
I need to go look that one up.
Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. I'm telling you, right? You know why? Because I think what we're all saying here is that it was different. It's not Call of Duty. It's something different.
Right.
And I think that is what
There's a ton of first-person shooters out there.
Yep. Yeah. For Honor is an amazing-looking game with a disaster that was... Arkham Knight. Oh, man, I cannot wait. Don't make me watch the television, Ganon.
I can't help it. Look at it.
Oh, so man. Good.
It's got to do with the podcast. It's fine.
Okay. Arkham Knight, I can't wait. Anyway.
For Honor.
Yeah, For Honor. Ubisoft has made it. They could use a hit considering how disastrous Assassin's Creed Unity was for them at launch. I don't know if you had a chance to play it, but according to... I have it at home. I haven't yet played it yet, but they said after the patches, Assassin's Creed Unity is a much better game. So I'm looking forward to playing it.
Dude, it has to be.
I got it cheap.
I remember at launch, like, people were complaining, like, their faces weren't there.
Just floating eyes and teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You run, you run down be the street, after, there'd be nobody there. The you take a turn, all of a sudden there's 1,000 people there.
For Honor is a Ubisoft announced the new IP, and they said it's the game takes place over time in different eras, and it features a very strong multiplayer component. And of course, they showed off the four versus four during the match, and it was all done on PlayStation 4. You should definitely look at the article that I uploaded. It looks amazing.
When they're inspired, Ubisoft makes some great stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The first few Assassin's Creed's were great. Everything after 3, not so much.
Well, here's something that Ubisoft announced that I thought didn't seem inspired until I saw the preview for it. Ghost Recon. Love that series. Always have.
I'm out on this one.
but here's the difference. They're coming out with a new one called Ghost Recon Wildlands. And now it's an open world Ghost Recon.
Okay.
They say there's no storyline, there's nothing involved in that at all. They say it's about your unit going after different drug cartels on the map, and the map is gigantic. You should see the preview on that too. Ghost Recon Wildlands looks
sounds like it
crazy.
Could end up being very repetitive.
It does.
Wildlands, but I didn't realize it was a Ghost Recon title.
It's a Ghost Recon title.
Because the footage that I saw was it was pre-alpha,
right?
And it looked gorgeous. Like
it looks amazing.
It looked really, really good.
Super good.
But I didn't realize it was a Ghost Recon game.
It's a Ghost Recon game.
I'm not as excited.
It's all Ghost Recon has always been 4 people, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's always been 4 people. So I'm assuming that co-op is there. The graphics look amazing. And they say you can attack objectives any way you like. You can do it stealthy. You mm-hmm. can ambush. You can do the whole nine. It's completely up to you. It's up to the player how they want to deal with the issue. Day or night, there's day or night cycles, which is really awesome. So that can play into the strategy of playing that game. But yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands was actually announced by Ubisoft. And Assassin's Creed, Ubisoft's coup de grace was Assassin's Creed Syndicate. The London-based Assassin's Creed, which has a female protagonist.
She's not the central character, though.
No, she is not, but they made her a big deal at E3, though. They made her a central point to
is
that.
Is this the one with the I think they're twins? There's like a brother-sister
team. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I do know that it's definitely more than one assassin. There's definitely more than one assassin. So And I know there's a female. I know there is the main character male. And I know that there is a British male character as well that I guess you can play or is a big part of it.
I know that Dickens and Charles Darwin factor into the story.
Yeah, which is really interesting. But yeah, I'm interested. I liked Black. I liked Black Flag. That's probably one of my favorite.
The only thing I liked about Black Flag was the boat stuff.
Oh, when you have to catch the whale?
That's weird. That's the stuff I hated about that game.
It's just like, I got so bored of running and doing the towns and let's go climb another tower.
I give you that.
What I do like about the Assassin's Creed is what I liked a lot for Assassin's Creed. My favorite one was 2. Well, not 2, but Brotherhood. A lot of people love 2.
That was great.
I love Brotherhood.
That was really great.
Brotherhood, for me, I want that magic to be recaptured in this latest one.
Well, I mean, the problem with the Assassin's Creed series for me is that they're in a constant rush to make sure there's one out every year. And how they do that is that they have a different developer taking care of one while the other one's finishing up.
Hence, same way as Call of Duty.
So there's constantly an Assassin's Creed game in the works. There's constantly one going on. Because there's a Canadian team.
Right, there's a French team.
There's a French team and a Canadian team, and they're just constantly generating all this stuff all the time.
I would assume as a developer, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, when you even if you do manage to take a year off, you would get burned out on that series. Yeah. You know, that's the one cool thing about Bethesda. Bethesda may have two big series, which is Elder Scrolls and Fallout, but at least you're working on Elder Scrolls for 3 years, and then you're moving on to Fallout for 3 years. But this one seems to be everything is Assassin's Creed.
I really would wish that they would take a year off or two, and all just focus on making one game really, really great, and not even worry about the next one.
And that is why I think that people should be paying attention much more to The Witcher 3. That it was 5 years in development. There were issues with it at launch, for sure, because of some bugs and things. But that game is amazing, and I have not been able to stop playing it. According to my profile, I have played over 30 hours of that game already, and I have yet to do anything of note in it as of yet. I've done 2 Witcher contracts, and I have done a couple of story missions, and that's about it. And that's how big this world is, and that's how much side stuff there is to do in this damn game. It's insane. So anyway, I wanted to shout out to Witcher 3 like I've done before. But yeah, that's another big game coming out for Ubisoft. So Ubisoft has got some tricks up their sleeve. I'm interested in this Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I hope it's good.
I'll always give an Assassin's Creed game a shot. Yeah. But Unity really lost me.
Did you play it at launch? Is that what you did?
No, I actually caught up to it after they made the first patch, so I didn't see the problems everybody else's when I played it. I just saw screenshots of all the issues. So I know what they look like.
Okay, gotcha.
I saw videos, but I never actually played through it that way.
Oh, okay, good.
I remember waiting for those glitches to happen. They never did, and I was actually kind of disappointed. That was like the one thing I thought was going to get out of the game that was going to make me like it, because after the first half an hour, 45 minutes of setup, I was just kind of out. Like, wow. I was forcing myself to finish it at a certain point.
So, what was it? Was it the story? Was it the action that was drawing you away?
It just didn't feel like there's any energy to the game at all. Like, wow. It was very paint by numbers in terms of the missions. And even, like, the control scheme, as much as it's always been the same, for me, it always felt like the movement was somehow hindered. It didn't feel as fluid to me. Like, there's different commands. Like, so, you know, if you're running across, you want to jump over to the next roof, you press another button to go down instead.
That's what I heard, right.
Yeah, it took a little getting used to, but it still lacked the same fluidity that the other ones had from the very beginning, which is the thing that threw me off, because the first one had very fluid movement.
Right. How was the co-op component on that?
I never played co-op for that one. I have no idea.
I really wanted to know what co-op was like, because I know multiplayer existed in the Assassin's Creed world, and that was tough for me to buy, even, but, I mean, I enjoyed what I played of it. But I wasn't hardcore, as it were.
The last time I played any Assassin's Creed on multiplayer, it's very, very structured.
Yeah.
And I imagine they do that because if it was like GTA multiplayer, you would just see assassins killing everybody everywhere, right? Yes, you wouldn't get anything done.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing
you
done.
You constantly have to be looking over your shoulder because there's going to be somebody else trying to take you out.
And finally, because I want you to format, since you are more of the Nintendo guy and you pay a lot of respect to them, I want you to mention a couple of the big things for the Nintendo, and I'll pass it over to you. But last but not least, at Sony's press conference at E3, the last trailer they showed was for Final Fantasy VII, the remake. It is not a PS4 exclusive. It's coming to Xbox, but they made it, like I said, they made it sound like a PS4 exclusive. Final Fantasy VII. I'm going to say something now that may get me settled with a lot of people. I was not a fan of Final Fantasy VII. Not when it originally came out. A lot of people love that game. It is the game that really brought them into console gaming. I wasn't a fan, but after seeing this trailer, if the game looks anything like the trailer that they meant that I got to see today, I'm in. I'm totally in. It looked really good. So, do you guys have fond memories of Seven?
I never played any of them. The last one that I ever played Final Fantasy wise is 4. I think that was back in the original NES. I do remember how big that game was. Right. Everybody was playing that game.
Everybody.
It was literally the biggest game, I think, of that year, if not for a couple years.
I bought it based on the fact that everybody was playing it. I didn't like it, but I couldn't tell anybody I didn't like it because that would make me a loser. So, but now that I'm an adult... I know. Now I'm an adult, sir, and still play games. You know, I...
Stand out,
I know,
sir.
I'm sorry. I wanted to be cool when I was a kid, man. It was hard for guys like me. It wasn't cool. So, Format, you I guess you're one of the only... You're the only guy at this table who's a huge fan of the Final Fantasies. What is it about... What's the magic that I'm missing when I play those games?
For me... I don't necessarily know if it's the game itself. With me, I played it with my brothers and our friends, and we would rotate shifts to complete the game. So, like, I'd take a nap, and Lona would be playing. He'd take a nap, and, you know, Gomega would be playing. And it was just constant until we completed the game.
Wow.
So, it's more my memories of playing with them than the game itself. Like, there are a lot of standout moments of the game, but it's more the experience of experiencing with with everyone else.
Was that before anybody had a memory card?
No. Well, we had memory cards. It was just... It was a trip because the game had 3 discs.
Yes.
We never saw that before. And
we're like,
what do we need... This thing is going to be huge, right? So we need to put all our effort, all our time into this one game.
Right.
And that's it. We never turned it off.
So it was the fond memories that you have.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, taking on the weapons and losing terribly. taking on boss fights and losing terribly.
Wow. I mean, listen.
Raising chocobos and leveling up materia. It's all part of the
those
game.
Those are words that aren't English to me, but I'm totally down for trying it. I mean, if it looks anywhere like the preview looked today, I am totally in. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
It's a win-win with that game because it's either going to be the people that remember it or it'll be the people that have heard about it for years.
People at the conference, you should have heard it was as if they were at a wrestling event. It was a huge roar.
So it's kind of like when Episode 7's second trailer came out.
Kind of, sort
of. Something on that
level. It was crazy, yeah.
There's a lot of people saying that this is, like, console purchase worthy.
Yes, yes. And this is a game that is, what, over 15 years old now? If maybe more?
Yeah.
Man, go figure. It's crazy.
It's weird, though, because Square Enix said they're never going to do it. And they've been holding out for so long.
Yeah, they did.
But I'm guessing money's getting tight, so they're it's such a weird thing, like, yeah, you know, no, and then all of a sudden they just sneak in this trailer,
and they're like, what? All right.
I mean, you can only deal with the demand for that for so long.
That's true. That's
and then
true.
Once you see so much demand and it never dies off, all you're looking at is money after a while.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You're telling all these people, like, nah, we're not going to do it, but then you'd start with, like, how many people said they want this? You know, never mind. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I love... You know what I liked about that Sony presser, by the way? I love the swerve before the Final Fantasy VII remake. The swerve before that, the trailer that they put on, was the guy announced that this was something that you guys are finally going to remember. And what comes on the screen is Final Fantasy, but it's called Tales of Final Fantasy, and it's these little midget kids going through Little Midget Town on the PS4 or the PS Vita and the PS4, and everybody's like, Yay! And then the guy comes out and he says, "This is what I'm going to leave you with," and it's Final Fantasy VII, the remake. I started cracking up laughing.
And it's not a PlayStation exclusive, though.
It's not.
It's a timed exclusive.
It's a timed exclusive for PS4. But I'll be honest with you, if I had to choose between one or the other, I would probably take the PS4 version over the Xbox version, especially with Final Fantasy. Just because it's Sony and Square Enix have had such a good relationship.
Part of the legacy. I mean, it came out on the original PlayStation. For sure. So it makes a little sense.
So you would have to pay...
PlayStation 2, was it?
2? No! 1! What am I talking about? It was PlayStation. It was PlayStation. That was...
See, I never played it again.
Oh my gosh. Three discs, and there were... That was when there was 3 discs, and the
That's the highest I ever got, too, because I remember Metal Gear was 2.
2, right. And the discs were black on the back.
Yeah, on the back.
Discs were black on the back. I remember that, too. Man. It was a very exciting conference for Microsoft and Sony and Bethesda and Ubisoft. Now, earlier on this evening for us, I mean, earlier on this afternoon for us, Nintendo had their conference. So, Format, what was the standouts for you at for Nintendo's conference? I have not followed Nintendo. I personally am a guy who believes that Nintendo should get out of the console business and take those properties and just put them on the consoles that people are playing now. That's how I feel. I mean,
they're never going to do that.
That's not their strategy. I know. So, what was good about Nintendo this year at E3?
The few standouts were a new Star Fox title.
Ooh.
That was pretty cool. Super Mario Maker looks like a lot of fun.
That is the one game I'm totally interested in. Have you seen the preview for Super Mario Maker?
I've read a lot about it.
Oh, man. I'm totally interested. I'm in on that.
Let's see. Nintendo Amiibo are coming to Skylanders, so if you're into collectibles, get ready to get poor.
Are they like 14 or 15 bucks a piece, I'm guessing?
No, they're like 10 bucks.
Are they really?
But they're everywhere.
And you can sit them on, I heard you can actually sit them on your 3DS.
They become part of the game.
That's crazy.
I know there's Amiibo compatibility with the Super Mario Maker, so you can actually put other characters from other games into Super Mario Maker. Wow. And finish the game through that.
So Nintendo characters have become Skylandered.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm totally Well, they've had that. That's the whole Amiibo thing.
Crazy.
But it's funny that you bring up Skylanders. There's also going to be cross compatibility between Amiibo and Skylanders.
What?
Yeah. Which makes sense because they that's the main platform that uses them.
Surprising, since the popular, I would assume that Activision would want nothing to do with Nintendo, but. Or vice versa, because Nintendo likes to do their own thing. So
yeah, but for the Wii U, I mean, Amiibos make so much money.
True, good
and
point.
And Skylanders, I'm sure they're going to want in on the cash.
Now, is it, and maybe you can chime in on this too, Gannon. Would saying Nintendo, is it fair to make the criticism that Nintendo is now a console for a younger generation or for a younger set? Would that be a fair statement?
I would say.
They've
always kind of shied away from the more violent games in the first place.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
When they put out Mortal Kombat, theirs was the one that was walking down. That's not the
true.
Sega.
That is very true. The Sega was the one
back,
on it.
That's going back a ways.
Yeah. So would you feel that way too, Format, about Nintendo? Or I would say so. The younger set?
I mean, other than Monster Hunter, there's all the titles are geared towards... You know, the younger audience.
That's true. I mean, they're still making big money with Pokemon, I'm guessing. Huge, huge money.
Yeah, and they haven't released a new Pokemon title for...
That's true.
But when they do,
it's always huge.
Nintendo has Pokemon money, and no one's got Pokemon money. That's crazy. So Super Mario Maker is one of their bigger announcements. Did we hear anything about the new Legend of Zelda, which looks like a huge open-world adventure game, which I'm kind of excited about?
Triforce Heroes?
That's a totally different one. I wanted to know about the actual Legend of Zelda. They said that they were developing a... Nintendo, or excuse me, a Zelda game that is open world. So, is you not...
I mean, the closest thing I can think of is Hyrule Warriors, but that's more like Dynasty Warriors.
It is, and I hate Dynasty Warriors. That's such a waste of money for me. People love that.
I enjoy it, because it's mindless.
It is.
Yeah, you just keep pressing the same button over and over.
Oh, yeah. So those, so that was the big standout was Super Mario, Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
So, and then it's funny that you say that because according to most analysts, Nintendo had one of the weakest, one of the weakest pressers at the E3 event. So.
Well, compared to Sony, Sony and Microsoft's bombs, Nintendo's going to be a bit lackluster. But. Yeah,
I'm still kind of curious as to why some of these, not Microsoft or Sony, but why these developers that are making games for Sony and Microsoft. Why they aren't jumping aboard the Wii U and things? Is it? I don't know if it's a controller. I don't know. Who wouldn't want to be on board with Nintendo at this point? Is that? Am I missing something here? What's the deal?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know.
I think it has to do with Nintendo being stuck in their ways. I'm assuming
they're family friendly bubble.
Yeah. I think they are.
You'll never see. I mean, yeah, they did a GTA for what was it? Not Game Boy. They had a handheld.
Oh, Chinatown Wars.
Chinatown Wars. It's the closest you'll get to the Grand Theft Auto experience.
True. Good point.
And that game still felt like Nintendo was just kind of like, let's just try this. It seems to be what the older kids like. Let's try it. You know what I mean? Like, right, right. You can kind of sense it happened in the boardroom. Like, the older kids seem to like this, so let's try this.
It was almost uncomfortable for them to do.
Yeah, it just didn't feel right. Yeah, it didn't feel right at all. I mean, Street Fighter is their speed, you know, that kind of a thing. Even Tekken might be kind of grown up for them.
Yeah, it might be, right.
I would say so.
Well, we've got 2 more days of E3, so I'm very interested to see what else we're going to see. We'll talk about it next week.
Oh, I can't wait to see what comes up.
Oh,
because I know there's got to be some doozies waiting in the wings.
Oh, absolutely. For the last day especially, because I know it's from the 16th to the 18th. So there's a lot of stuff happening. So.
Anybody got speculations what might get dropped?
Silent Hills?
That would be amazing, but we all know that's never going to happen.
I don't think
a mobile version of Silent Hill.
A mobile version of Silent Hill. Amazing. I don't think that there are any big announcements to be made. I mean, I could be completely wrong about this, but I do know this. There was something interesting that happened on my Xbox console. You can actually now purchase and or play for free to try them, the games that are still in preview, like Steam does on their PC. You can do them on Xbox now. They just released 2 games on there. Elite Dangerous and The Long Dark, which are PC games, brought them over. And they're still in preview. They're not gold. They aren't ready for retail, but you can play them. It's very interesting. So there's a lot. Microsoft is turning into a PC console friendly kind of a crossbreed.
You can see them trying to win their fans back, like I said before.
Yeah,
they're trying some different things out that Sony's not doing.
It's smart to put the games at the forefront and go, I got this little peripheral you can watch TV with.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me anyway. It's good stuff. Getting back to your original question, I don't know what else they could announce. I haven't heard anything about Street Fighter V, which is a PS4 exclusive.
It's on the list for ones that are most likely, but that's been somewhat announced already.
Yeah, it's been on the internet for a bit now.
The showing does
look good, though. Like the trailers that I saw.
And it's PS4 exclusive. That's what
Birdie that's crazy. And Cammy are back on the roster. So that's
Birdie. I don't remember Birdie.
He's from Alpha.
Alpha.
Oh, that's probably why.
Birdie's actually from the first
yellow
one.
Yellow mohawk with the chain whip.
I don't remember that one.
Remember the Street Fighter with the punch pads?
Yeah.
He was the first.
Oh, that's okay. Birdie. Okay.
That's him.
All right.
I did fail to mention one game that had made the list at E3, and I only bring it up because Alika brought it up. He said that Kingdom Hearts is coming out.
Yes.
Another Kingdom Hearts is coming out, and that's a huge game. Not just young folks, but adults play Kingdom Hearts as well. Hey, Alika, which one is it? Kingdom Hearts 3, right? Kingdom Hearts 3. Huge game for Square Enix.
I never played 2, but...
Are you a fan? Did you like it?
I was so addicted to that. It was when I was in college, and that was one of the movies I was just on, like, constantly.
Really?
And I didn't realize it was a Final Fantasy, like...
thing. Inspired?
Yeah.
Right.
I was just like,
characters, yeah. And it tricked me into liking Final Fantasy. So.
Was there other mind-altering substances while playing this game afoot?
That might have been a factor into why I was so addicted to it. Yeah.
We're on the record right now. I'm not too sure he wants to go on the record right now.
This is totally off the record.
This is going to be on the internet in a bit.
Yeah, there was barely an internet back then, so I dare you to find evidence.
There are three words they can say when saying stuff like that is, hey, it's college. You know?
That used to pass. I don't know, since the internet, I feel bad for these kids. That's not going to work
it's
anymore.
It's not going to work anymore.
Everything sticks now, man.
Exactly.
There's kids in the room.
That's right, exactly. It's crazy. But yeah, Square Enix announced another Kingdom Hearts, which is a huge, huge IP for them.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I've only watched people play, and I was a little disinterested because of my Final Fantasy experiences, but I always enjoyed watching people play. And it brought a lot of excitement to people that I watched play it. My other half and the kids were playing, and they didn't have a memory card at the time, and they would do shifts, just like you. There would be a couple hours, one person would play, everybody would get off, just keep playing, and they'd leave it on all night because they didn't have anything. No memory card. So, crazy. So, good for them. Square Enix coming out with the Final Fantasy. Kingdom Hearts 3 coming to
interesting current because generation. That's it's the same combat system that they're using in the new Final Fantasy title. So,
oh yeah, because
they did away with the ATB bars and all that. It's now like real time.
I like real time. I'm not a big turn-based guy. I'm not a huge turn-based guy. That's never been my bag. I've always found that kind of... Maybe that's why I didn't like Final Fantasy. Maybe that's the biggest reason why I didn't like Final Fantasy at all. So, but I'm willing to, like I said, I'm willing to give anything a shot nowadays, especially with how consoles are going now anyway. Hmm. But, gentlemen, I wanted to get into some other stuff. We are bumping up against our heart out. We've been talking for about an hour now. So there are other movie related things I wanted to bring up that we will bring up for next time. But yes, we'll bring up more about E3 coming up next week. We'll see the last couple of days, we'll talk about that. But I wanted to bring up Halloween. We'll bring it up. We'll talk more in depth about Halloween and its return to the big screen.
I want
to
know what Barry has to say about it.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see that. I'm also very interested in doing another commentary with you guys. I'm so excited for that. We're going to do the Twilight Zone. That's coming up. And Twilight Zone, the movie, I cannot wait to see that with you guys and to do a commentary about it. That's something I'm definitely looking forward to for sure. I want to send a big, big shout out to our good friends here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, Alika and the crew for providing such a wonderful place to do the pod. And I always thought it would be a distraction, but it's not so much a distraction. Having Adult Swim in the background actually kind of puts my mind at ease while doing the show. So I kind of enjoy it. So, and by the way, thank you guys for taking the time out to be on the show. I really appreciate it. Will you be when we get a firm date? Will you be back? Dare I ask? Will you be more of a regular on Tuesdays?
Yeah, as long as I'll come down.
I would love to have you. I just have to run it by Format and Professor Barry. Make sure it's okay.
Oh, I'm sure there's gonna be a hard committee to get past. You guys wear robes and have candles burning. When you guys make decisions?
When have you ever run anything by us?
What is this?
Yeah, you don't know about this, but Worst is a real hard.
There's like a circle of ash that you guys have to walk in.
Is there a memo or something that I missed? What is this?
Yeah, I guess it is. So yeah, we'd love to have you back next week Tuesday, sir.
Yeah,
we have
time. Absolutely.
We'd love to have you. Next week though, more movie news. We'll finally get a chance to talk about next week. We're getting this coming Friday. No huge movies. We're getting Inside Out, the new Disney movie. Herman's Head, which is right. A Pixar film. And we're getting.
I didn't even think of that.
That's what it is. It's Herman's Head.
I can't believe that didn't occur to me.
that's why. Oh, man. That's the first thing. My connection to the nerd culture is a lot from my dad. My dad is a huge. You know, he doesn't admit it. He's a much smarter man than I. But. My connection to nerd culture is because of him. Movies, games, everything is because of him. And one of the funny things is the very first thing when he saw the Inside Out trailer. Is it Inside Out, right?
Inside Out
trailer. He called me up on the phone and he said, did you see the trailer for Inside Out? I said, yeah, I did see it. And he goes, that's Herman's Head. Those guys owe so much money to Fox for that. And I was like, Oh, yeah, you're right. That is Herman's Head.
It never occurred to me, man. My dad calls me up. That did not occur to me.
I couldn't. And that show was so funny.
I used to love that show.
William Ragsdale? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great. So, yeah, we're getting Inside Out this weekend. I'm excited to see it. Some rave reviews so far. And we're getting a very small film called Dope. Which has been getting some interesting reviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it's set in the 90s, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And it's about urban life and apparently a bit of teenage urban life in the 90s, I'm guessing. So I don't think we've had that since Boys in the Hood, except more innocent, not gangster.
Yeah.
Boys in, well, in the 90s. Harkens
back to the house party days.
That's even closer. I like house party too. That's House, by the way, just to let you know, I don't know if Professor Barry's ever divulged this to you. House Party is on his top 10 favorite movies of all time.
What?
It is.
Thought you'd get a kick out of that, Cameron.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. It is one of his favorite movies of all time.
It's entertaining, but man, I'd love to know what else is on that list.
He considers that to be one of the most perfect films he's ever seen, and I'm not joking.
I know. I need to know what's like number 11 in his top 10 because I want to know what got iced out in favor of House Party.
Ironically, you bring up Iced Out. It's on the list too. What the hell is the name of that movie?
Cool as Ice.
Right.
And not ironically now.
House Party. Oh, that is the real thing. We will talk about that next week. I will divulge his secret.
We have to. Sean, if you're here, remember. Yeah.
Whenever you listen to Barry talk about movies, you always think like his top 10 is
You
very,
should see his eyes light up.
Much classier.
Right, exactly.
When you see his eyes light up when you talk House Party, you will see how he gets when he talks about House Party. It's quite a sight to behold.
So enthusiastic.
Very.
Oh, man.
Very enthusiastic.
You know what else doesn't have a commentary?
Right?
House Party doesn't have a commentary.
It doesn't.
He knows so much trivia about that, it's insane.
I would be willing to sit through a commentary.
I would too!
I don't even think I'd say anything.
Just sit there and on.
Well, except for the George Clinton scene. I might chime in for there. I always quote that scene with George Clinton.
Oh, that's very funny.
I cried two tears in a bucket. I'm not going to say the rest, but...
I can already hear Gannon going, yeah. And he's just laughing at Barry the whole time.
But I almost want to do that more than Twilight Zone. off of this pitch,
I'll bring that up to him for sure.
He's eventually going to listen to this. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. So yeah, we're getting one big movie, one small movie this week, and then I believe the next week after that we got a couple bigger movies that we'll discuss. But next week we'll talk Halloween. We'll talk a little bit more about John Carpenter and what he thinks of Big Trouble in Little China. And we'll discuss that more
as
well.
Your mainland friends are going to love this episode.
Oh, they are going to
love it. Games, games,
games. It's all games, games, games. You're absolutely right. I got a bunch of people that listen to us in North Carolina, and they were criticizing us because we've been talking a lot of movies. So this would be a good one for them. So now I can just stick it in the craw and just tell them, yeah, here's your game podcast. Ha! There it is. No, I'm just kidding. Let me see what's
happening.
Well,
that's all that. Two more days.
Yeah. Hey, at least for 2 more days. And plus on top of that, We're going to be talking a lot more about games and movies because Comic-Con's coming up in July. So there's going to be a lot of stuff happening that I'm going to need you for and people paying attention to the internet for.
I can't wait to talk about Comic-Con.
Oh, man.
I was supposed to be there this year.
Nope. Really?
I was supposed to.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the way in San Diego.
As a speaker?
No. What the hell am I going to tell them?
I don't know.
I sense a bit of sorrow. What happened?
Oh, no, I have a connect there that could have got me in there without getting the passes like everybody else.
What the heck, then?
Well, it's I don't want to call it record saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
It was college.
It was college. You got to do what it takes to make money these days.
Absolutely. Okay.
Or get into Comic-Con.
Enough said. Don't have to get anybody in trouble here. Well, I'm disappointed you couldn't go. I would have been told.
There's next year.
Always next year.
This would have been the year to go, though.
Superman.
Warner Brothers got a big presentation coming. Star Wars got a big presentation coming. Marvel's not going this year.
Yeah, right. It's big. Opens up. I hope we're gonna. I wonder if we're gonna get some Warcraft information as well.
They're saying there might be at least a little tiniest piece of footage that I've read about.
I am so excited to see Warcraft.
I'm just dying to see how they're gonna turn that into a movie.
Well, they have to focus. There has to be a focus.
You can't make it like the game.
You can't. No. There's no way. There has to be a focus. And it looks like they're focusing on the orcs, which is a smart move because they're the most interesting race in that game. Then again, I'm biased because I play my home.
You rolled an orc.
Yeah, I rolled an orc, and my hometown is Orgrimmar. So I can't. I'm biased for sure. But yeah, so we got that coming up. There's just a ton of stuff coming up that we'll be talking about next week. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. It's all right here on the Nerd Watch. Follow us at facebook.com/the Nerd Watch. You can always hit us up at mywatch.com for all our reviews as well. And you can follow us on the Twitters at Nerd Watch Nation. I put up. Our podcast on there as well too, so people can follow us there. I'm not really sure how to work the Twitters, but hey,
I have a Twitter account, but I don't ever use it. That sounds
like a personal problem.
you need to go see your doctor.
I'm pretty sure there's a cream for that.
I'm sure there's some side effects that go along with the Twitters. Gotcha. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. For Matt Gannon, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We certainly do appreciate you guys coming down. It's always a good... I love doing this, guys. You don't know how much I love doing this.
It's fun. I like it. It's
super fun. And Alika, thank you so much for having us here. We certainly appreciate it. And big ups to Maui Comics and Collectibles for providing such a beautiful space. Come on down. Check it out at 333 Derry Road. Maui Comics and Collectibles. They're not just comics. They are everything nerd. Oh, and by the way, last week they had Magic the Gathering here at Molly Comics and Collectibles. They played
every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after hours.
Wow.
They close at 6, so it's not that late.
Sounds seedy.
I know. Ooh, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Right? After
like it's
hours.
In the basement of Maui Comics.
After hours. All right. All right, guys. So until next week, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. Mission Barry. We'll see you guys next week right here, only on the Nerd Watch. And until then, aloha.